This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 21st, episode 2101. That's a mouthful now. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
That opener makes me sound like such a jerk.
We all know that's not true. So, you know, CBS News did a poll that I was so excited about. And I think all of us here at the Horse Radio Network are going to be very excited about that. Their latest poll shows that 2/3 of Americans listen to podcasts at least once in a while, including 23% who do so a few times a week. Just a year ago, a majority of Americans said they never listened to a podcast. It was like 40% had ever listened to a podcast. So we're up to 2/3 now. So
your evil plan worked.
We're getting there. We're getting there. People are listening finally after all these years of you and I doing this, 2101 episodes. People are figuring it out. So that's good. So welcome to any new people we have. We're glad to have you here. Hopefully you have a little fun and learn a little bit about horses along the way.
Perfect. Well, yeah, definitely. This is something I didn't know existed when I got this job. So glad you're here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Now, it takes a little while. We say this occasionally for new listeners. It'd probably take you about a week to get used to Jamie and I. But once you do, you'll like it. First week, you're going to hate it. So just hang in there.
It takes a while to get used to Glenn. Just, yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But you know, it's okay.
You know, it's like certain wines. So, you know, you don't like them at first, but then they grow on you. So, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Second Skull is stopping by, the folks from the top of the heap, and they're shaking up the head protection industry with some super cool new fabric. That sounds like it's straight from the pages of a Marvel comic. Can't wait to hear about that. And Marcia Sapp is going to stop by, and she's going to talk about another first, the first time a Mustang has ever been pronounced the U.S. Equestrian Horse of the Year. So exciting. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
She's super nice and super fun, too. We really like her. So one of the things we do on the show and have done since day one, 9 years ago, was a Daily Whinny. It's kind of like a shout out. So here's mine. One of our auditors posted on our auditor page today. Those are like super fans who pay anything from a dollar a month up to become an auditor. She posted that she lives in Vermont, and she put a little screenshot today, Jamie. It's minus 10 this morning. Real, and that's the real temperature. Yes. And the real field temperature is minus 34.
Nope. Nope, not. Nope. Where is that?
Vermont. Just crazy.
Antarctica?
Yeah. Well, and then the high today was going to be the high. Real temperature was minus 5.
Nope. Bye. I mean, like, there is nothing that says you have to live there. Just nothing.
She said that she wrote that, I just keep thinking about your big snakes and alligators, and that gets me through my horrible winters. I said, yeah, but they only bite a few people a year. You all have to deal with it all the time.
That is the worst comeback ever. Y'all have snakes and alligators. Yeah. Oh, my God. You can't leave your house. I mean, see, here's the deal. Every morning, I just moved here a couple months ago from Phoenix, Arizona. So this is a big challenge for me living in Oklahoma because there's weather. And here's the problem with the weather. it's really freaking cold. Like, but it was like 60 on Friday and it was 8 as a low on Saturday. And I still have to go out and feed and I don't have the clothes for these things. So I'm like Walmart shopping for long johns.
Goodwill.
So I go out. Yeah. And I go out and I have to throw hay in, like, you know, I went out this morning and it was like 28 degrees. This sucks. It's so terrible. I would die if it was -5. I mean, you still have to go out and feed your horses. What are you doing? How are you surviving that? I think I'm like, I mean, I look like I'm ready for the alpine skiing, you know, I'm dressed like this.
You know, and people that live there say, well, you know, once it's like -5, you know, -34, they all kinds of feels the same. I beg to differ. I really
That's not true. I lived in Arizona to be like, oh, if it's over 110, it just, no, it 117 feels way worse than 110. You know what I want to do is I want to get her on the show and I want to talk to somebody in these frozen tundras who I just want to know how they manage their horses. Like, how do you do that? How, what happens?
Well, Katie, if you're listening live this morning or anybody else from Vermont or Maine or up that way, drop me a note and we have a little time later in the show. We can get you on to talk about how you survive your daily operations there. All right, your turn to do a daily Winnie.
Well, part of the exciting part of moving to Oklahoma is that I've been able to build a barn.
Which is looking pretty snazzy.
It's, okay, the electrician and plumber still need to come to put in the waters and all that, but for the most part, it's done!
Oh, woo! Yay!
The Morton Building Company is amazing, and I really am super thrilled with all the work they've done and all the people that have been involved in it. I'm just really in love with all the builders, and even the guy who sold it to me is a really nice guy. So I just really am, I'm just super happy.
Well, I wanted to ask you because one of the things you did, looking at the pictures, I haven't been there, obviously, but one of the things that you did in your barn is a cause of a little bit of contention and debate in the horse world.
Really? What'd I do?
Concrete floors. So, you know, a lot of people don't like concrete floors. They get too slick or whatever. And I assume you had the roughed up ones that aren't slick. But, you know, and then some people believe in, you know, having the dirt aisleways or, you know, rubber mats or whatever, you know, the rubber blocks or whatever. So why did you decide on what you decided?
I went with concrete aisleway and then I like did a porch off each side, but the stalls are dirt. And what is happening in the stalls is a point of this may cause a divorce in my family is trying to get these godforsaken freaking mats. You think you're buying the right size? No, you have to cut like everyone.
Cutting mats is a bummer.
Oh, I actually called the Morton Building guy and I was like, listen, I'll give somebody $100 a stall if they will just get it done. Like, I can't do this anymore. It is the worst. Like, Chad is out there. He's going to cut his hand off. It's just a terrible. I was like, let's get one of those like saws that you just put it down and cuts through everything.
Are you trying to do it with the big X-Acto knife kind of thing?
That's the only way you
box
can
cutters,
because
yeah.
If you put one of those saws down in it bounces up and like cuts your hands off.
Yeah. And the other thing too is those knives, box cutter knives you're using, you have to replace the blades about every 2 minutes.
Listen, I went out and bought like I bought a Crocodile Dundee knife for this thing and it was like still doesn't work.
No, so, it's a bummer. You do know the trick for moving them, right? Do you have the mat movers?
I bought those little clamp things that you told me about. Yeah.
And it works, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Well, so the concrete aisleway, you get, there's a variety of brushings that they can do. I can totally nerd out on this if you want.
Because everybody deals with it at some point.
So there's a way that they can make the concrete, you know, nice and polished. And that's typically what people would do for like garages and stuff. Yeah. But it's obviously way too slippery for the horse. So that was out. And then they have a way that they can really rough it up. But you can't really clean it after that. It's really roughed up, but
it's
impossible.
That's why people use blowers, because it's hard to sweep them.
Yeah. And so the in between that is a light roughing, I guess, or like combing, or I can't remember what he called it, but so I kind of went with that. And so it's definitely got plenty of traction. But in the tack room area, they did that smooth one and it's definitely a huge difference. So I've got Dutch doors on all of them. Okay, here's some of my building ideas is that...
Which look really cute.
They are so cute, but I am a freak show about fire. And every stall had to have its own exit out of the middle of the barn. So I was crazy about that. And so that was one thing that was fairly more expensive was the Dutch doors. They're so cute.
Oh, you had
cute.
To put on each stall? Well,
every
that's
stall
why.
Has yeah. a Dutch yeah. door.
Because I'm a cost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I also did in between each stall, you know, they have those little like square cutouts where you can put the scoop in and dump the grain in, which is fantastic. But the problem is horses always fight in between each other. And so they have those bars that run down the middle of the between the stalls. I had the first 2 feet of that made solid wood. So they can't see each other when they eat, which is fantastic because they can't fight. And because I have some jerk face horses. Oh, God. And then another thing I did was I've got a hay shed like kind of outside the barn because I won't keep hay in my barn because it is just too prone to catch on fire. Hay is just a fuel, you know. So without having hay in the barn and with everybody having their own exit, I feel fairly good about, you know, things. And like I said, the electrician, we're going to have automatic waterers, so I don't have to drag hoses around and all that mess. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'll give you guys a virtual tour.
This would be the nicest barn you ever had.
Oh, my God, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be, like I said, when we moved out of Arizona, I picked this property and Chad was like, I don't know if this is a good idea because everything was really, really the economy was crashed and I'm buying a farm and a crashed economy. And I was like, trust me, we are going to make a killing selling this. Well, we made a killing. And so basically it's, I fought with him about buying it and he's like, you're right. So we were taking, that's the money that we're using to build this barn and some other things too. Like the arena starts next week. So I'm going to have a place to ride that doesn't seem like I'm riding on glass or ice because everything is really slick when it rains here. So I'm really excited. It's coming along and I'll be able to teach and ride and have friends someday. It's going to be fun to have friends.
Yes. At your new house.
Really miss friends like that live here, you know,
that you're not talking to on Facebook. Well,
yeah,
you know,
friends, and I'm like, can you please come visit me? I'll pay for your flight. Oh my God, I'm miserable. So.
Well, one of the people that we've had on the shows, maybe we can call her a friend over the years, is Isabella D'Souza. And one of the things we didn't mention last week is that she has won the 2018 USEF Junior Equestrian of the Year. If y'all remember, Isabella D'Souza has done the Thoroughbred Makeover many times.
And yeah. We know who she is. Yeah. She like totally has Cosmic One, who's Zenyatta's first baby.
That's correct. And I got a little bit of sound from her acceptance speech of winning the Junior Equestrian of the Year. She's so well spoken. So I wanted to play a little bit of that for you. And she might mention that particular horse.
Competing in the big equitation classes and the jumpers on mostly warm bloods, the retraining of thoroughbreds has brought my family together for the good of the horse and the continued love for the sport. The thoroughbreds I have retrained off the track have taught me and others participating in the program so much about heart, spirit, determination, courage, patience, and most of all, camaraderie. I've worked hard and learned from each step of the retraining process. We have conquered challenges and enjoyed small victories. For me, small victories might have been jumping over a 2-foot oxer without jumping it like it's a 3-6 oxer, or going up to the ring and feeling my horse take a deep breath in the ingate. Those are small victories that lead to greater victories. I have especially appreciated all of the fans and the support base that Cosmic One and I have had this year. He is a horse who's been followed by many due to being the first offspring of his famous mother, Zenyatta, both during and after his racing career. He has become an ambassador for the thoroughbreds, signifying how much horses can enjoy new things, adjust, and change to challenges in their lives. I also want to mention that I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing...
Well, there you go. That's what she said about Cosmic One. And you need to have her on your show, your new show.
For sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Just keep in mind, we are starting sometime soon the Retired Racehorse Radio. So I'm super excited to get that show going.
Very soon. It's going to be happening in February. So we'll tell you more about that then. Do you want to start off the week right with our Loser of the Week? Do you want to?
Oh, God, I just want to punch this person.
I have a couple
mouth.
For you. I have a couple. We'll start with the lighter one, and then we'll go to... I have two losers of the week, and then I have a loser horse, too. So we have all kinds of losers this morning, so let's hear from them.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Okay, this happened in Florida, and this particular loser's name is Dominic Maltzby. Well, he was approached by the police for driving with an illegible license plate. Apparently, he didn't want to get arrested, so he hopped out of the car. By the way, this is all on video from a helicopter. He hopped out of the car and into a horse paddock. It was nighttime, and there were three horses in the paddock that did not take kindly to him being there. So they chased him down and went to kick him as he jumped over their fence. He looked like he came up limping a bit, and he was walking after that, and they managed to chase him down and catch him immediately. So moral of that story is, if you're running from the police, perhaps a field full of horses is not your best bet.
Horses read intention, people. They do. It is
the one horse got really close to kicking him in the chest. Really close with both back feet. So, yeah, he was caught. And the cops...
Anybody who has a bad, like a license plate that's illegible and gets out of the car and runs has something else going on.
Yeah, if you have an illegible license plate in Florida, you're running drugs. That's pretty much what it is.
I mean, but if you just are running, you're like, oh my God, my license plate's illegible. I better flee the cops.
Yeah,
no,
you have arrest warrants. Yeah,
there's something in that trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and now our other loser of the week in the human variety is back in the news again. And I don't know about you, but this was shared with me by about 5,000 of our listeners. And that's Fallon Blackwood is back in the news. And you all remember she was the one that was arrested in Georgia a little while back for really conning people, taking their horses to rehome them, bring them to her sanctuary where they would live out their lives, and then selling them for slaughter. The Net Posse people who we've had on about this back at the in the day said that they expect there's about 50 horses that this has happened to. Well, she has been arrested again, this time in Alabama, where most of this happened. And she has been arrested on 13 counts in Alabama. So she was arrested on 2 counts in Atlanta, was put out on bail, and is waiting. That trial's coming up. And once she got back to Alabama, once they figured it all out and got it all nailed down, they have now arrested her on that. This thing that stuck out to me, and we all expected to be arrested there again.
Let's see if the same thing sticks out in this story to you
yes,
as it does
did.
To me.
It did. I guarantee you we're talking about the same thing. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, obviously she's a vet student. And that's the thing is she tells everybody, oh, I'm a vet student. I can take care of your senior horse. And you give her the horse and she sells it for slaughter in Mexico. And she's a student at Tuskegee University. So the sentence that says, Fallon Blackwood, 24, who attends Tuskegee University, was indicted. Why has she not been kicked out of the school yet? This happened.
It actually says after posting the $15,000 bond in Alabama, she has returned to class. And that is the thing. I don't know why. Why is she still a vet student accused of really killing 50 horses or more?
Okay, so here's what we all need to do. And we did this last time this started, but I guess it didn't work, is we need to write letters to Tuskegee University, which I did last time.
I just assumed she was out. I was. Maybe she's not in for veterinary. Maybe she's switched to like business or something and they can't kick her out for that. I don't know.
Switched to criminal tax evasion or something. And she's going to like, go, I don't know what to say. What a horrible person. And people, this is the reason you have to make decisions for your own horse in their senior years. Let this be a lesson to all of us.
Well, and then there was a horse decided to be a loser. So that was in California. You saw this story too, didn't you? It was
this
bizarre.
Is perfectly Florida, is what this is.
I know, but it was California. So
I can't believe it. Everything always happens in Florida.
It was in Los Angeles. And it was one of those farms that really has no pastures. Everybody was in the stalls. And this just reminded me so much of your horse, Zeus.
Zeus.
I don't know. Zeus would do this. You got to admit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Zeus escapes the stall. This horse, whose name is Rodeo. rodeo escapes the stall. And they had one of those things where it's a platform where you can take the wheelbarrows up and dump it right into the dumpsters, because they use dumpsters out there for the manure. So it was this big platform.
Oh, now it's making sense.
So he escaped, and it looked like there was no ladder. Like, a lot of times there's a ramp or a ladder. It looked like the ground just went to the platform, and then you dumped. Well, the horse got onto the platform. They had the lids closed in the dumpster, those green lids dumpsters have. Well, apparently he thought that was solid and walked out on it. The lid broke, and he fell into the dumpster. So Rodeo was in the dumpster. They had to call the fire department, and the fire department arrived, and they put this fire department out there had one of those fancy harnesses they put under the belly. It wasn't just fire hoses, which is what they usually do, and then they used a forklift to get him out of there. So they did get Rodeo out of the dumpster.
Oh my God.
Pictures are great, by the way, of Rodeo. He's just standing there, too, like, oh, damn. You know, he's one of those horses like Zeus that gets himself into situations and then goes, I did it again.
It's like he's like, help. Okay, somebody's gonna come
and get me.
Somebody's gotta come.
And Zeus doesn't freak out either, does he, when he's gotten stuck in small spaces? And
no, he stands there completely still waiting for me to figure out how to help him. I mean, just the other day he got pinned in between the temporary stalls and the wall, and there is like 3 inches of clearance, and to push all of that out of the way, that dude had to work hard, because there are 4 stalls attached to each other and they're in like deep footing, and he moved it completely out, and then he was stuck because the other like wouldn't push far enough. I mean, this is like something that I prepared for, and I was like, we braced everything, and he still got it done. So, but he just stands there. I didn't hear anything. I just walked around the corner down into the run-in shed, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing back there? And I mean, it's insane. Like, but this, the title of the article, it's so deceiving. Horse hoisted to safety after getting stuck in dumpster. And I'm like, who threw it away? How did you get a horse?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. How do you just, it's like, you know, somebody,
I don't want this one anymore.
Like, I don't want it anymore. That's what I thought when I saw it. And then you have to read the story to find out more. But I'm like, who's that?
Oh my gosh, I can, this is going to be a plot feature in the next, on the next, book with Lisa Wysocki. I can see it now. Kat
right.
is going to find a stolen horse inside of a dumpster with the lid closed.
Well, let's end with a non-loser. Let's end with a non-loser, and that's Winx.
We're going to end with the winner of the, I don't know, three years. We're talking about Winx, of course. She has a 29 winning streak. And she has been unbeatable for more than 3 years. Best rated horse in Australia in 2015, 2016, 2017. And we're about to find out if she's going to be rated ranked number one for 2018. Of course, come on.
But this is what she's going to be ranked at this time. They're expecting her to win Longines World's Best Racehorse, not just Australia. So she might be taking the world's best racehorse on Wednesday. They do that ceremony in London. So everybody's expecting her. She's leading the pack, and we'll probably see her doing that. So she's going to race again, but they're winding her career down, apparently.
Well, what they're saying is she is set for a farewell campaign, and she started back to work. She just had a barrier trial, and they just wanted to see the trainer that admits he's looking for any sign that as a 7-year-old Winx is starting to lose her edge. But he says, if anything, she looks more fantastic. But it's just like his quote is, it's just like last preparation. It's one race at a time. We won't say when the end is. We are focused on the Apollo Stakes in the middle of February for that moment. And I love that Winx is set to return at the Apollo Stakes at Randwick on February 16th. So mark that down, February 16th. But it goes on to say, you know, they said one race at a time, but the Chipping Norton Stakes, George Ryder Stakes, and Queen Elizabeth Stakes are sure to follow. One race at a time.
One race at a time. And all of these in order. Yeah. You know, what's interesting about Winx is a turf horse, right? And we don't you very rarely get turf horses getting any attention at all, let alone winning horse of the year. You know, world's best race horse.
But come on, watching her run is if he doesn't give you tears in your eyes, I mean, that horse knows where the finish line is. It's just, she's like, oh, right there. Okay, good. Now I'll run. And yeah. just run in that.
Just to see it first.
Yeah. She's like, I just want everybody else to feel like they're doing well. And then I just run past them all.
So good job for all of the connections for Winx. And we have a lot of Australian listeners. So congratulations to y'all. Well, let's talk a little bit about Omega Alpha Equine. Jennifer is going to help us with that.
Yay. Okay. Omega Alpha Equine. I was using some of that over the weekend. Nigel and I went out with Brooke Beers of the Horse Holster fame to the Pruitt Trailhead for a lovely long trail ride. And Nigel tends to get a little bit keyed up about trailering, about going away from home. And he gets the famous diarrhea. Everybody's favorite. You get him out of the horse trailer, it's his diaper butt. So I give him some chill before we head out on our drives. Not because he's fractious, but because he gets obviously nervous on the inside. He's got diarrhea. And it really helps. It gets him settled just enough so that we don't have diarrhea all over the inside of the horse trailer and the inside of his legs. Thank you very much. And my favorite part, well, second favorite part about it is you only need to give it an hour before you head out, which is very convenient versus a lot of other products where you have to go with 4 hours and 2 hours and stuff. Easy peasy. And you can give it again once you get there if your horse is still a little keyed up. And my absolutely top favorite part about it is he sees me coming with a syringe and he opens his mouth and says, please squirt it in. It's awesome and it's effective. So you can go to Omega Alpha Equine online, omegaalpha.com, and look for Chill. It tastes yummy. The horses eat it. And you can give it frequently and as little as an hour before you're doing what you're doing.
Are you using Chill or the Chill Ultra to get that result?
I use the Chill, the liquid, and that comes in a little, you can get it in a quart or a gallon. I use the Chill. I like it better because he likes it better. He will literally open his mouth and say, ah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Coming up, we have our first guests here. We have Kevin and Vaughn with us, and they are with a company called Second Skull. Anybody who listens to the show for a long period of time knows that we promote helmet use in all occasions, anytime you're riding your horse for any reason or even working with them lunging and things. And we're going to talk about a technology that I saw demonstrated here recently that's absolutely cool, and it's called Second Skull. And who's going to lead the way? Hi, Kevin. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, this is Vaughn Blackster.
Hi, Vaughn.
Kevin Lynch. I'll let Vaughn lead the way.
Okay, good, Vaughn. Talk about this fabric, because I saw it demonstrated in person. And, you know, I've seen your video, but I also saw it in person and got to try it myself. And it's so cool. So I don't know, we're on radio, so we kind of have to explain it.
Well, it's a skull cap that fits snugly over your head. And its uses for underneath helmets in contact sports and other sports where you may have a blow to the head. And we have tested it under a myriad of helmets, football helmets, lacrosse helmets, and equestrian helmets, which you're interested
right,
in.
Right, right.
And specifically the Troxel Liberty helmet.
Okay.
And those testing results show that for a linear hit to the head, we improved the Troxel helmet by about 20%. And for an angular hit on the head, we improved the Troxel helmet rotationally by about 32%. Those percentages are very significant and mitigate the blows to the head.
Well, describe the fabric itself, because it's so cool to watch the demonstrations of this, and I recommend everybody go to secondskull.com and watch the videos, because it's really neat.
Hi, it's Kevin. To be clear, I think you're talking about what we use on the inside, the Poron XRD, the super absorbent open cell polymer.
Yep.
Yeah, so that is, for anybody out there that's worried, it's very vetted, it's used in a lot of other products. We did an extensive test here to find the best material. Our product is patented, and our patent is on the skull cap, not the material that goes in. So if a better material is ever invented by technology, we can replace it. However, we get stuff sent to us from all over the world, and we test it. And so far, the Poron XRD is by far and away the best. So it is an open cell polymer, and what it does is what you saw when it's flexible and breathable at rest, and then when you drop it, it hardens instantaneously and then goes back to its resting stance. So that's the secret sauce. So but when you mention fabric, which is interesting to us, another part of the reason why we improve helmets rotationally is the fabric that sits on between the poron, the nylon spandex on top, that provides slippage for the helmet, and that's a good thing. And that's why we improve the helmet rotationally. So for our NFL grant that we received $100,000 from the NFL, one of our milestones was to find a material that slips better than our original material, because the faster that helmet slips, the more it dissipates the rotational force, and we have done that. So our new product is a little more breathable, quite a bit more breathable, and it also slips a lot more. And as Vaughn alluded to, when you see that 32% number on, especially on the rotational, is really significant. But we also know medically that it's not one for one. So if you reduce that number by 32%, you're not 32% less likely to be injured. You're more like 45, 50, 60%. It's not one to one. It's when you reduce that number, your chance of injury goes down exponentially. So I just wanted to clarify
that. Yeah, and we have talked because there are a couple of helmets coming out now that are dealing with the rotational fall issue. And, you know, yes. So we've taken a look at that, and we've talked about that, and we've actually talked to some people, neurologists and things about that. And, you know, that is because most of us, when we fall, we don't hit straight on. We're not hitting straight on. We are hitting rotationally. We're sliding some. So that is important. I mean, and the question I have for this is, I watched the video, and I watched the ball drop on the material, and it turned hard instantly, and you drop it on one material, and the ball bounces, and you drop it on this material, and it goes thud and doesn't bounce. So my question is, does that mean it's absorbing the impact? I don't know how to say this. Does that mean it's absorbing the impact, or because it gets hard instantly, is what's underneath it going to be hit harder? Does that make any sense?
It's absorbing the impact.
Okay.
And dissipating the impact.
Okay.
So that it doesn't get through through to the underlying head form or your head.
Right. Okay.
And the testing proves that when you see the reduction in the linear impact, that's basically a linear impact is I take a hammer and hit you on your riding helmet, and then it goes to your head. Well, if you put the second skull on, we're reducing that over 20%.
Got it.
That energy coming through the helmet is being dissipated by the skull cap and the poron XRD that's in the skull cap.
So the skull cap looks like a beanie, right? It kind of looks like a beanie.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yep, it looks like a beanie. It looks identical to what a lot of football players wear to keep their hair down underneath their helmet. But there's no protection in those skull caps, and ours is only 2 millimeters thick, so it's a very thin profile. Well,
okay, that was. That was good. That was going to be my next question, because horse people are not used to wearing that or anything like that underneath their helmets. So I know everybody was thinking, how thick is it? So it will fit comfortably under the helmet that you're using now because it's so thin?
Well, under certain helmets, yes. I would suggest when you go, you get fitted with it with your helmet, and you might have to have some small adjustments to your helmet to make it comfortable. We found that under most helmets, it fits without a need for an upsizing.
Wow. And very cool.
So now the question is it becoming more prevalent in the horse world? Kevin, are you seeing it in the horse world? Are you seeing more and more people endorsing it and using it?
Well, the actual thing is we're kind of just dipping our toe in the water. So we are now making a concentrated effort. So the answer is yes and no, because we really didn't, you know, we're a smaller company. We've been basically in the football and hockey business.
Right.
But the answer is we're making a concentrated effort because our results are so good. And, you know, for me, honestly, it's personal, because my grandmother, who was a fantastic athlete, probably in her 50s, flew off one of my grandfather's steeplechase horses, And she was essentially paralyzed from 50 till she died at age 96. She could walk, but barely. So I know personally the effects of what, you know, a traumatic fall off a horse can do. Now, we can't, that the second skull probably is not going to save that fall, but it's gonna make the in-between falls safer. And that's what we are trying to do.
And that's what go ahead.
We always say that our product cannot prevent concussions, and nobody can make that claim. But we liken it to a seatbelt in your car. A seatbelt doesn't prevent death or terrible injury, but it sure helps.
Mm-hmm. And right. That's what we're all looking for, is something to, you know, like I always ride with a helmet. And I have friends that, as you say, some barrel racers that won't ride with a helmet. And one of them has started putting a helmet on. And she's like, you know what? I ride better with a helmet on because I ride and this is the kind of thing that would make you feel like you could ride better, you know, and get out there and do more because you do feel more protected. It gives you an edge that you wouldn't have otherwise. And the head injuries are something that will ruin a family. I mean, all you have to do, everybody that I know that rides horses safely will want this product because it gives you an edge. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't you use your seatbelt? It's not going to save your life, but it sure is going to make it a lot better.
Yes, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg either.
Well, how much is it?
Yeah, that's a good question. How much is it?
It retails for $55.
Okay. And it'll last, I assume. This is not something that's going to wear out tomorrow. So you're not going to be replacing it every 10 minutes.
We guarantee it for a year.
Okay. So where can people find it? You say you're just starting to come into the equestrian market with it. Is the best place for people to go to check it out on your website, or what's the story?
Yes. Yes. Go to our website, and you can buy it right on the website. And that's the quickest way to do it.
And I'm looking at your website, and I'm on the products page. So they're going to be looking at the second skull cap, right? Is what everybody's going to be looking at from the horse side.
Yeah. Okay. And just for everybody to know that the website itself is second2ndskull.com, not second spelled out, but 2ndskull.com.
Well, check it out. It's not that expensive for additional head protection. It does look pretty thin. It looks like it would fit. If you have adjustability in your helmet at all, you're going to be able to make it work.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, that's why everybody should have those Ovation helmets with the little twisty thing in the back, and you can just make it a little bigger, boop, put it right back on. This is fantastic. I'm so excited. Anybody that helps save people's lives, and I mean, even in the football world and the hockey world and the horse world, the head injuries are so prevalent. So thank you guys for what you have done.
Well, we feel passionately about it. You know, Kevin, as he said, his grandmother had a traumatic fall, and I have a young son that played football in college, and I told him if he wanted to play football, he has to wear the helmet, and he made it through with flying colors.
Awesome. Well,
terrific.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys, for this. Can you please send one to Jamie? She doesn't need any more head injuries. We have a hard enough time with her. So, I'll give you her address, and you could just send her one over.
We're happy to send her one.
Okay, good. I want to keep her around. I hate doing the show myself. So,
secondskull.com, 2ndskull.com. You guys are awesome. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
Bye.
I love that.
I mean, you just dimed me out as being a hot mess on a horse in front of like some really cool guys.
Well, anybody who listens to the show knows that already. So you know, one of the cool things about this technology is the NFL is really leading the way on research and helmets and helmet design and head protection.
Thank God they've got the money to do it, you know?
They got the money to do it, and they have the need to do it because it's so much of a problem over there. But it's cool because it all trickles down, right? It trickles down to all the other sports. They make a headband. You know, soccer players are always hitting their head on the ball, right? They head the ball all the time. And, you know, it's that constant pounding of the ball on their heads is a problem. They make a headband that's become very popular with soccer players that has the same technology built into it.
Really?
Yep. So you'll see it on their website. You're going to see the headbands. If you see the headband and go, well, what good would that be? It's for soccer players.
Okay, I'm going to get that for Lucas because he wants to be a soccer player.
Oh, he's leaning towards soccer, huh?
Well, he starts baseball.
Every kid leans towards soccer.
He starts baseball. He's also going to do, he wants to do soccer. He wants to play hockey. He wants to do everything. As of now, he takes karate. He's had 2 karate lessons and he freaking loves karate. And he is going to take a Lego class.
It's funny you say that because Jemmy's kid, who's same age, 6 years old, JoJo, also he takes Taekwondo and he's been going for like months now and loves it. Twice a week.
Oh my gosh.
Goes to Taekwondo.
I can't wait to show you guys this little uniform that he got.
I know.
It's cute.
Does he have a little karate outfit?
Oh, yeah. He just got it because he was there like past the first 2 classes and they give it to you, but you can't wear it till your 5th lesson. So he's not even allowed to try it on, but thank God, because I've got to get it hemmed because it's way too big.
It's like a little bathrobe. They have a name. What's the name of them? I can't remember the name.
It's called a gi.
Gi. That's right. Thank you.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm like able to help instruct my child because I have my yellow belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I did not know that.
Things you never knew about me.
Wow. Was there a hot yellow guy teaching the class? Like, is that why you took it?
Of course!
How did I know?
Hot guy teaching the class. And I lived in Ohio. I'd moved there by myself and I didn't know anybody. And I walked into this thing and it was all these like hot guys working out. I'm like, I can do that. And then I stayed in the class until every time I was wrestling these like super huge guys and I was like getting bloody noses and stuff. I'm like, forget this! I'll call me if you want to see me.
I'm out. Well, do you have a quick Oklahoma story while we're waiting for Marcia?
I can do a things I've heard because I got a couple new ones.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Called.
Yeah. She's
things I've heard in Oklahoma.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay. So we had a whole lot of rain. And the guy who was building the barn has this huge truck and they've been driving their trucks in and out, but I don't really care. And they've been tearing up the pasture, but it's the part that's going to be torn up for the arena. But I looked out at his truck and he was complaining about how wet it is. And I said, come on now. Like, what do you mean? It's so wet. Doesn't that big old truck have 4-wheel drive? He goes, man, you throw a cup of water under that tire and it stuck. Like, what? Like, who says that? Same guy. This guy is like, he's like done building the barn, and I was really sad because he's just the greatest.
Where are we going to get our quotes from?
I know. He's like the best. I told him, I'm like, by the way, I talk about you on the radio all the time. He's like, what? No, I ain't talking to you no more. And so we're in there trying to get Chad and I are trying to get the mats, you know, done. And we had my Crocodile Dundee knife that I got. And it's like, you know, we're sawing at it. And he's like, no, y'all got to get one of these. And he pulls out just like one of those X-Acto, you know, you push the razor blade up kind of X-Acto, but like a big one. And I was like, can I borrow that one then? Give me that one. Give me that one. He goes, man, this knife won't cut hot butter. I go, why do you have it? He's like, I don't know. I need to sharpen it.
Just carry it around. Looks good.
Finally, I'm like, you know, I talk about this guy. This is the guy. And he is, and I talk about him to my family. And they're like, where? I just tell them things I hear. And they're like, who are you hanging out with? Because we have lived here for years and we've never heard anybody. So I go up to Dean and I'm like, where are you from? Because Norman is like a grid and there's, you know, the streets run north and south and the names run east and west. And so I said, where are you from? And he goes, well, I was born at 40th and Plum.
So he's local.
I, like, I said, where's, he goes, you know where that is? And I said, no, I don't know where that is. And he goes, 40 miles out and Plum back in the woods.
And on that we'll bring Marcia into the conversation.
Why you burn for these fun people?
They're a lot more entertaining than the Phoenix people were. You know why? Because Phoenix and like Ocala, like where we live, like Florida and Phoenix and Arizona are all, they're not, nobody's local. They all move there. So
nobody ever leaves this town. I don't know why. Chad, they do leave. They come back. Like, it's weird. Nobody ever leaves. Like, yeah, you know, I grew up down, I'm four houses down. I'm like, why do you still live here? It's like a whole world.
All right, let's bring on a champion.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I've wanted to talk to her for forever. I would like to welcome to the show U.S. Equestrian National Horse of the Year trainer, Marcia Happersap. Good morning, Marcia.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I am great. I am so excited to talk to you. I am a Mustang lover, a Mustang owner, and you have just done so much to help promote the Mustang breed. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
No, gosh, thanks for having me this morning. It's my honor for you guys to ask me to be on your great show.
Oh, please. It's just it's awesome to have you on. So anyway, let's talk about Cobra. Tell the world about Cobra if they have been living under a rock and don't know who he is.
So Cobra is a Mustang that I adopted when he was 6 years old. He had never been touched by human hands. He was rounded up by helicopter by the BLM. And the interesting thing about Cobra is he has a four-digit brand on his hip, 4057, which indicates that he was a three-strikes Mustang or an unadoptable Mustang. So not only does he have the really cool neck brand that shows that he's a wild Mustang, but he's got this four-digit number on his hip that shows that he was unadoptable. He was offered three times or more for adoption. No one picked him. He was basically stamped as unadoptable on his hip. And was destined to not be available for adoption. So I got the horse in 2010 and trained him for an extreme Mustang makeover, which he did really well in, and later on showed him in recognized dressage. Cobra has won a USDF All Breeds National Championship at first level, third level, and the FEI level pre-St. George. He's the first Mustang makeover graduate to be ridden at the FEI level, and FEI means international. And Cobra is also a two-time world champion in Western dressage, the first Mustang to ever win a world championship. Cobra has won four USEF Horse of the Year awards, the first Mustang to ever win a USEF Horse of the Year award, and that was all for national championships in Western dressage. And just 2 weeks ago, Cobra was nominated, voted on, and named the USEF National Horse of the Year, which Yay! Is a super huge honor.
And
super
that's voted on.
That I, you know, I still can't believe it happened.
You know, you were against some serious competition in, you know, in the other disciplines, and this is voted on, and you got the votes. That says a lot.
Yep, it is by public vote. The horse has to be nominated by a USEF committee member. So it has to be someone on the board for the United States Equestrian Federation. The general public can't nominate a horse. So it has to be somebody at USEF. And out of all the nominations, out of all the disciplines, they pick three horses for the National Horse of Honor. Many of these horses are like Olympic horses, if you look at the list. And then it's up to a public vote as to which of those horses is named the National Horse of the Year, which was super cool. It's a huge, huge award for the United States Equestrian Federation to give out.
Now, there's so many things that ways we could go with this. We could talk about three-strike Mustangs and how they happen and how they don't get adopted three times. But we'll save that for later, because I do want to talk just a little bit more about, like, I watched your acceptance speech. And I feel like this with every horse. Like, I just bought a horse for the Thoroughbred makeover and found out that he doesn't actually qualify. The sellers told me a little story. And I was like, well, now I need to sell him so I can get another one. But I realized that I can't sell him because I owe him the responsibility of educating him to make his life better. I feel like education of these horses makes the rest of their life set up to be more successful. And that's what you talked a little bit about in your speech, was the education of the horses and how you kind of make a promise to them, and you made a promise to Cobra.
Yep, absolutely. One of the many hats that I wear is a young horse starter. I break horses to ride all the time. It's something that I really like doing and I enjoy doing. And for me, I know every horse that comes in here to be started under saddle, I have a huge responsibility as a horse trainer. And I take that responsibility really seriously. It's like I'm training somebody's kid or I'm teaching somebody's kid. I have a responsibility to keep that child safe. And the horses, I feel like I have a responsibility too to set them up for the next 20 years of their lives. You know, if they come in as 3-year-olds, they're probably going to be ridden for the next 20 years. If I do a good job giving them the set of skills they need in order to do well in a human world, we all know that horses that have good training will always end up in good homes. And that's what we hope for all of our horses. So, you know, for me to win that award, I wanted to make sure that I let people know that, you know, it wasn't about trophies or ribbons. It was about fulfilling a promise to horses and really understanding what it was all about. The reason we're all there was because we all care about horses first, and we care about the sport second, the sport of it. So yeah, I didn't have a speech prepared, of course. I was pretty surprised to win. I didn't know if I would be crying. I definitely, you know, wanted to make sure that I relayed that to the next, you know, generation of, you know, of trainers that we had sitting in that room. There were so many young people there receiving awards for their different disciplines and sport that I just felt like that was an important part of this whole story of the horse and the whole message about Cobra, the whole message.
I think you, for not having anything prepared, you were incredible and very well spoken, eloquent, and you did a great job. Now let's talk a little bit. Let's go back to Cobra. Because we know that these horses coming from BLM, they don't have names. How did you decide to name him Cobra?
Well, I had him in the trailer on the way home. I picked him up in Piney Woods, Mississippi, where they had a BLM facility. And you know, he's a Mustang. So I thought, okay, well, what about the Ford Mustang, the car? When I first met my husband, when we were dating, he had a Cobra Mustang, which is one of the higher powered versions of the Mustangs. So that's how we came up with the name Cobra, because we wanted to find something fitting with a Mustang.
Did you see his hot car first, or did you see him first? Just saying, asking.
Definitely, I saw the husband before the car.
Okay, good. All right, just check.
And Glenn, that's where you forget. Horse chicks don't care about cars. We just don't. They're mobile tack rooms. Okay.
Yeah, but she just named her champion horse after a Mustang Cobra. So there's that. I mean, yep. She liked that hot car.
She liked the hot guy in the car. So I do too. When I kind of one of the fun things about having Mustangs is to decipher their brands on their neck. And I know a lot of people, you know, will get a t-shirt with their brand on it. And a listener made me a keychain, a beaded keychain with his Freeze brand on it. But I always, like, if I had a horse that just won the U.S. Equestrian National Horse of the Year, and he had a big old 4057 on his left hip, I feel like it is your responsibility to get a tattoo of 4057 on your left hip.
There you go. Avarsha's not signing. No, she's not signing up for that.
Facebook Live this?
I saw, you know, I saw something in an article I read about you. I think it was in Sidelines magazine. And, you know, I've talked before, too. But you talked about doing join up, and Jamie's a certified instructor for Monty Roberts. Is that something you do with all the horses? Is it something you do now when you start all the horses?
Absolutely. It's something that I learned about when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I went to this quarter horse breeding farm, and I was introduced to this method of starting young horses under saddle, where we kind of make things their idea. And I didn't know at the time what a powerful influence it would have on my horse training. But I do absolutely do that with every horse that comes in. I do a lot of groundwork. I want to make sure that by the time I'm prepared to step a foot into the stirrup, that the horse has all the skills it needs for me to ride it. I'm a big believer that, you know, if you get on a horse for the first time and the horse is scared, you didn't do your homework well. And I don't want horses to ever have fear when I'm training them. So I use Join Up with everything. I'm a big believer of it with the Mustangs. We do lots of other groundwork too, but you know, it's a core principle that I think is something that will be a staple of horse training for a long time to come.
I always try to explain Join Up to people. You know, basically you cause, and you touched on this a little bit, is you cause the horse to want to learn, as opposed to make the horse stand there and learn. Because when their adrenaline goes up, their learning goes down. You know, that's just the way it is. So when you do Join Up, you know, how cool is it to, you have a horse that has never had a saddle on, never had things done to them, but you've asked them to join up with you and they come and they stand next to you. How much easier it is to do everything when the horse wants to be next to you versus you're forcing it to be next to you.
Absolutely. Horses learn so much better when they have a reason to want to learn, and they have to want to learn. What we know about Mustangs and what we know about horses in general is that in a herd of horses, horses rely on the safety of their herd in order to survive. And horses rely on a herd leader. Usually it's a mare. They rely on their herd leader to tell them where to eat, when to eat, where to drink, when to drink, where to go, and how fast to go there. And as long as they're part of that network, that group, where they have a really strong leader that keeps them safe, they don't have to make decisions. Their life is easy, and they're not getting eaten by the cougar. So we take that into our relationship with horses in the round pen, and we turn into that herd leader that keeps them safe. Mm-hmm. And they have this desire to get along with us, a desire to please us, so that we continue to keep them safe, just like they would if they were out in the wild. Every horse needs a good, clear, fair leader that keeps them safe. And that's what people are, and that's what riders are to horses.
That's what we want people to be, and that's what horses want people to be, you know? So some of the other things that you do with, so do you just ride Mustangs, or do you ride a bunch of different type of horses?
I do a lot of different things at my facility. Of course, I've done a Mustang makeover every year for the 10 years and have done well with that and have learned a lot. I've learned a lot from the makeovers. But my primary business is training warm bloods. So we do hunter jumpers, we do dressage horses, we do everything from the starting of the young horses to the young horse classes to Grand Prix horses. So we have a big level of, a big variety, I guess, of levels of horses here. We have everything from babies to Grand Prix horses. We have horses that jump 4 foot. We have horses that jump cross rails. Most of them are warm bloods, but we love all breeds of horses and all types of horses, and we'll train any kind of horse because that's what good horsemanship is. You're going to train what people bring you, and you're going to give it a good life. So we love all kinds of horses and all disciplines.
Marcia, one of the techniques that you use, I know, is the aspirant technique. Can you explain that for people who don't know?
Yeah, that's basically teaching people to ride a horse in self-carriage. So it's really the thought process of shifting your weight, of balancing the rider over the horse, of being more centered, and using the rider's body language to direct the horse rather than the use of the reins and the force of the reins. I feel like a correctly ridden horse, a correctly trained horse, should be so on the rider's aids and cues that you could take off the bridle and do all the exact same things that you can do without a bridle. And we do ride some of our horses bridleless as they get more advanced in their training. And it's a good way to verify if we're doing a good job with our training. The aspirant technique is just self-carriage. It's balanced riding. It's riding the horse with a sophisticated use of your seat and your aids and the shifting of your weight versus the force of the reins.
Well, cool. I was asking you about your breeds, and we'll, I just want to know a little bit about where you guys are, but I wanted to ask you first about the Mustang. What do you think the biggest difference is? Because I have a warm blood baby and a Mustang and all sorts of stuff at my place too. What do you think the biggest difference is with the Mustangs versus the domestic horses?
But the Mustangs are obviously not bred to do any discipline or ever any sport. The Mustangs are survival of the fittest. They're bred by natural selection. They are quite hardy. They're very sound. Their minds are typically very, very good. And the thing about a Mustang is most of them are raised in large groups in a family structure. So the way that they see their relationship with human beings is very much like they sometimes see their relationship with their herd mates, is they rely on one another. The difference with, let's say, our warm bloods is sometimes those horses aren't raised in a group setting. Sometimes they don't get turned out with older horses that teach them. So sometimes their thought process of relationships back and forth are a little bit different because of their upbringing. And I try to really harp on that to people, is that young horses need to be raised in groups with herd mates, with a family structure first. They need to be horses first in order to become really good riding partners later.
Cool. Where is your facility, and can people find you and get lessons from you and things like that? Promote yourself.
We have a public facility. We do horse training, and I teach lessons, and I coach for the Florida State Equestrian Team. We're in Tallahassee, Florida. So I do have a website at southernoaksequestrian.com. And like most people, I use my Facebook way more often. And that's Marcia Hartford Sapp. You just look for my name on Facebook, and I use that quite a bit, you know, for sharing information and whatnot. We love being in Tallahassee. It's just a beautiful part of the United States. It's a great place to live.
Well, speaking of Florida State University, you graduated with a degree in psychology. Has that been a better help in dealing with the horses or the owners?
The owners.
Yeah, I thought. I knew that was the answer.
I think the horses have taught me more than, you know, than any book ever will. And with horses, it's hands-on, it's day-to-day, it's putting in the work with horses.
She really hesitated.
Yeah, she did.
She hesitated with that question so much. I was like, what was she going to say?
We've always said, Marcia, the perfect boarding stable would be one that didn't have owners. It would be just the horses. Be perfect.
And here's what I tell people about this, and I have a lot of kids that want to go on and be veterinarians because they quote-unquote love animals so much. But the way to help animals is to be really good with people.
Yep.
To be really good communicators, to be good in your education. You know, it's great if you love animals. It's great if you love horses, but you must be good with people too, because Amen. The people are the ones helping the horses. So I love people and I love horses, and it's important to me to be a good communicator to both.
Well, that's well said, and Tallahassee is beautiful. We were up there last year for a weekend and had a lot of fun. So, and it is so much different than the rest of Florida. I was shocked. It's actually got hills and trees. So, yep. It's so much different. Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon. Congratulations again.
Congrats.
Okay. Thanks,
give
I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Give Cobra a pat for us, okay?
You bet.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you.
God, I wish I'd known her farm was right near there. I would have visited her when I was up. It's such a neat area up there. It's more like Georgia there than the rest of Florida, where it's totally flat. They actually have hills. It's like Georgia and Tallahassee. It's really pretty.
That's cool.
It's really a cool place. She's neat, huh?
Yes, she's fantastic. She's fantastic.
Well, do you want to do to end the show today?
I think it's that time.
You do? Okay. Then I would play the bumper if I could find it. So, oh, here it is. It got moved around.
First world problems. Now, keep in mind that these first world problems are actual, real first world equestrian problems, and they're submitted to us by our listeners. So these are the people that are suffering on a daily basis and having such a hard time with, you know, just making it through the day. Like Jessica, I can't decide which saddle to take to the barn to ride in because I can't keep my saddles in the barn because I live in Florida and they like mold and stuff. So I have to keep my saddles in my house, but I don't know which one to bring to ride in. God, it's so hard. Does your tack mold in your part?
Oh, yeah. If you have leather, you have to bring it in the house. You can't leave it outside. I mean, not this time of year, but in the summertime, it'll mold overnight.
Oh, man, is that another thing I get to look forward to?
Yeah, well, I don't know how hot it is, muggy it is there, but yeah, we can't do it. That's why we all have synthetic, you know, for every day and leave outside. It's because mm-hmm. you can just wipe it off, but yeah.
I thought that was for your vegan nature.
Oh, no, nothing to do with that. The leather all comes in the house. Jennifer has her leather parts all over the house, yeah.
Carrie says, I was planning to ride on Tuesday since this holiday weekend has been so cold and snowy. But instead of riding, my work is like paying for me to have a spa day, which is massage, sauna, hot tub, and day pass. So I probably won't even get back in time to ride. Ugh. Where do you work, Carrie? And how can I get that job? Haley says, is Jennifer still here?
I think so, yes. Are you still here, Jennifer? I think she's on mute. She's still here, though.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I mean, because like Jennifer usually submits a first world problem, and she did not today, so I was a little disappointed. Maybe think one up, and you're going to have to come up with your own by the end, okay? Haley says, I got a gorgeous new saddle for Christmas, but the color doesn't match my bridles, and now I need all new bridles. Girl, you cannot go out there without matching. It is unacceptable. Kayla says, I want to send my horse to the trainers for a refresh, but she doesn't have room for him till March. Problem is I only have enough hay for a few weeks, so now I have to get hay to last until he leaves, and I hate hay shopping. God, having the money to buy things for our horse is just so hard.
Jennifer hates hay shopping too. Ends up going to four different places.
You know, honestly, I'm weird with you. That is actually a real problem.
That's a real problem, yeah.
And nobody has, like, everybody's out of good hay around here. I'm like, I'm not feeding cattle, people. I need real hay.
Jennifer's the same problem. And then just like you, you get it. And then she's driving it back because it was moldy. Yep.
I had to take it back. And I went through two more bells because I was still from the moldy stash. And I forgot to return them. Scary says, I just joined Monty Roberts University and now I can't stop watching. This is worse than any video game I was ever addicted to. And to make things worse, I didn't join for the month or 2 months. No, I went out and joined for a whole year. I'm never sleeping again.
Can I just say, good job, Scary. But can I just say that we've had a rash of people for auditors joining Monty Roberts. We've been talking about it for 8 years. And you guys are just getting around
That's
to
awesome.
It. Yeah, we're glad you're doing it.
It's like, oh, I can't figure out how to teach my to do that. You go on there. There's a video lesson on how to do it.
But I think like 10 people just joined. So good job and keep it up. Keep up the hard work there, Debbie. You're making a difference.
Tanya says, I have too many horses and too few hours in the day to earn money for their feed, clean their stalls, ride them, and sleep. And I'm so tired. God, too many
Every horse person's life right there.
Yeah. TJ, I feel you because she says, I've been buying tack for working equitation, but now I want to do ranch riding. A different tack?
Yes, apparently. There's different tack. Believe me, when I was at WESA, there are more different types of Western saddles than you. They all look the same to us, big and clunky. But let me tell you, there's a different type of Western saddle for everything you want to do. Everything. Mm.
Everything. Yeah. I know that I've had a hard time. I want to buy like mounted archery stuff. Cause I think I want to be like, you know, Katniss Everdeen on a horse, like Merida and Brave. And Chad is like balking at the idea of me buying all new stuff. I want to try. He's like, I already bought you a cart and you didn't like that. I'm like, well, I sold it for the exact same price I bought it for.
Yeah. Well, then it doesn't count. See, that's a wash.
See,
yeah.
I canceled out. That's yeah. what I said. It's a wash. I'm going to have
you don't know till you try.
Amen. Chelsea says, my mud boots gave out, so my husband said I could get a nice pair. But for more than I was willing to spend, and now I don't know which ones to get.
Which reminds me, I need to get your foot size after the show for a pair of mud boots. So it's going to be sent
seven and a half.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Anybody else wants to know my shoe size? Sharon, remember, these are listeners that are suffering to these problems. Sharon says, California totally needs rain, but all these stupid storms are ruining my riding time. We don't need
that's
the
true.
Whole of California does not need rain.
Can we talk to her in California? You know, the minus 10s are ruining riding time, too. So
I know. She's such a diva. I feel so sorry for Sharon. Diva. Jeez. Yeah. Nicole says, I can't visit my trainer in Wellington this winter because I'll be too pregnant to fly. So instead, I have to spend weekends in front of the cozy fire at our lake house here in Canada.
Kind of deep-ish too.
Oh my God, I hate you. But flying while pregnant is no joke. Lucas, when you were in my tummy, buddy, you did not like to fly. It was very uncomfortable.
Kicking and carrying on in there.
Oh my God. There's a reason they tell you not to do it. let's see. The next one. Teresa, I went to buy my horse a Micklin bridle a couple of weeks ago at Dover, but they only had the one I wanted in horse size. And she needs a cob size. So I had to order it online. And it only took one day to ship, but still.
We have become expectant when it comes to ordering stuff online. Amazon has ruined it. Every other company.
It's true. My horse was feeling lazy and ulcery. So I got impatient a few weeks ago. So I started giving him Oats, Outlast, Biotic 8, Red Cell, and Omeprazole in the feed. And now she feels like a million bucks and I don't know which one did it.
That is a problem with supplements.
Problem, Nana. All right, Nana.
And then the only way to figure it out is to start cutting things out to see until she's crappy again. Right?
I know. One thing at a time. But you just don't want to do one thing at a time. You want to throw the kitchen sink at them.
And this is why when I used to work for a certain company that had little compartments that they would send out with supplements in them, they had to cut some people off because they would have 25.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Rebecca says, I have tomorrow off. She posted this yesterday. But so do my kids. Come here.
And as Jamie is dealing with Lucas right now, Jennifer, you have one.
Yeah, but Jamie's got to read it because it sounds so much better when she does it.
All right, well,
it sounds whinier.
Can you tell everybody why you're not in school? What today is?
Martin Luther King Day.
That's right. Yay. So somebody is still in their pajamas hanging out during the show. Sad that he can't use Wi-Fi because only one person can be on this Wi-Fi at a time.
Yes, and that's mommy another right first now.
Claire says, you can type yours into the chat, Jennifer, and then I can see it.
It's there.
Claire says, my boarding barn just installed new footing in the huge outdoor arena, but I haven't had time to go try it because they finish Friday, and I have to spend time with my family on the weekend. Oh, man.
Horse women are so...
Kara says, my Tennessee walking horse lost all her summer fat, and now she looks like a saddlebred. Do Tennessee walking horse people hate saddlebreds?
I don't know.
Okay.
We have gated wars going on.
I know. Let's see if I can find Jennifer's. I am teaching Nigel to jump at liberty, and I get so tired running along with them. I am literally exhausted. Yeah, that's why you jump on their backs. It's way easier to ride.
I have one. Jemmy and I have one from the weekend. So we did. We went down and recorded Finding Florida in Crystal River area, and the Crystal River tourist people visit Crystal River, explore Crystal River, set it all up. I mean everything. They did it all for us. So they had us in 2 days at 4 different high end restaurants. I mean, we ate more food and we swam with manatees and went on boat rides and did all kinds of stuff. But by Saturday night, and it's so funny because she said, we got to tell Jamie. By Saturday night, we just got done with the whole days of activities, starting at 6:30 in the morning, eating at 2 different restaurants, swimming with manatees, doing all this stuff. And we had one more restaurant to go in the evening, and they were expecting us for an interview and everything. It was just like, and this is high-end restaurants, like meals were costing $100. And we get it all for free. And she looked at me and said, First world problem. I am too hungry to eat any more free food. So that
too
was
too full.
She said, I'm too full to go eat any more free food. I cannot eat any more free food.
Poor princess.
It's true.
Our listener, Mary, who lives up in Wyoming, says, when the snow is white and my hitch is white, what good is my fancy backup camera? I can't see anything. April says, I'm horse hunting for a friend and I found him a really nice horse that's going to be like perfect. But I want the horse.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I shop for people and I'm like, I think I need this one. Rebecca says, let's see. Oh, okay. Let's see. I'll go back. Karina says, I've been on vacation, so I haven't even seen my horses. God, to have vacation time. This is the final one. And I would like to say, Rebecca, I think that you should consider leaving your husband for what he did to you. This is embarrassing. She says, this morning it was so cold while I was feeding and cleaning in the barn. And my fingers nearly froze off. And when I came back in, my husband had made a roaring fire in the fireplace and then made a gourmet breakfast with our free-range chicken's eggs. And he's super health conscious, so he added an orange on the side for vitamin C. But he didn't peel it, so I had to peel my own orange.
What have we become?
You should leave that guy.
as a country, what have we become?
How dare he not peel your orange for you after making you a nice breakfast and getting you a roaring fire? My husband is not home right now because he's stuck in probably the same place that you live, which is somewhere up in the Northeast in the snow. So. All of you. It's really, you know what though? I mean, I feel really sad for all of you. And these are real people. If you want to submit a first world problem, you have to be an auditor and just join the thing. And every Sunday I ask people to tell me how hard your life is. And these are what they came up with. And y'all, it was strong to quite strong today.
Very, very well done. Well, tomorrow, Horses in the Morning is going to be back. We will have Tara here with our Western episode. She can explain all those Western saddles to us. She'll be here with the Western episode with a couple of guests. So we'll be back for that. And then later on in the week, we had her on last week, a brand new grooming episode coming up on Thursday. So that'll be coming out. And then a really bad ads the end of the week. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You can find all of our shows at the Horse Radio Network app, horseradionetwork.com. Search for Horse Radio Network on the App Store. I realized that we were having a problem. Android did some kind of update, and the app was having a problem. We have the developer taking a look at that. So if you're having problems with downloading on certain Android phones, he's taking a look at why that's happening, and we'll try and get that remedied as soon as possible. In the meantime, a lot of people don't realize you can just go to our website. We have players on every episode of every show we do. You can just hit play, and you can listen to it on your phone that way, too. Or any podcast player has our show. And we're submitted, and it looks like we might have been approved for Pandora. And Pandora is being very selective about the podcasts they put on. But we submitted Horses in the Morning, and hopefully we'll be on Pandora before long, too.
I love Pandora. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, so we're in the applying process. I had to, sign documents and agreements and everything to get on Pandora. Everybody else just plays your show. But Pandora's being a little picky. So hopefully if they don't dislike Jamie too much, we'll be there. All right,
apparently,
that's it, everybody.
I need new muck boots and a new brain bucket, so it's been a busy day. Bay, neuter, and yell, people. Have a good one.